cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com.
How weird does it feel to be in studio, Chloe?
What a tune. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to Future CEOs.
It feels a little foreign here. I saw a meme during the holidays where it was one of those from The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I don't have a recollection of this place or something. So, I mean, and that's what it kind of feels like here, but it also feels like home, doesn't it?
I missed you.
Of course you missed me. I missed you as well. And we missed our guests. And did you guys miss us?
Partly.
Okay.
Silence. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that. Welcome to Future CEOs, guys. It's great to be with you again. We're here. We're broadcasting live from Cliff Central here in Johannesburg, South Africa. It's great to be with you. Chloe, you get to do this for the first time this year. Tell everyone what the show is about.
Welcome to the show, everybody. And this show is really for that ambitious entrepreneur or that high potential executive who truly wants to grow their business and fast track their careers. I believe that we all want to be mavericks. So this is a show that gives you skills, information. Sometimes we go out there and really mix with the best. And sometimes we bring the best into studio. So welcome to the show and welcome to 2017, everybody.
Yes, happy new year. And that's what we're going to be doing on the show today. So the second half hour, we're going to be talking about how we mustn't get distracted by the trends that are out there, the things that maybe, you know, we're in a retail environment and suddenly there's the rise of virtual retail. We mustn't be distracted by that if it's going to take us away from achieving our goals for the year. That's the second half hour. First half hour, we are going to be talking what those trends are. We've got two of, are they our favorites?
Oh, man.
Some really, really good friends of Future CEOs here in studio. Guys, introduce yourselves as you always do when you come into the Future CEO studio. Who are you? Carl, we'll go with you, but you must be short because you weren't very complimentary when we asked you.
All right, sorry. Apologies for that. My name's Kyle Torrington. I'm co-founder of Legal Legends, and I've helped out occasionally on the Future CEO show for, the last year and a half, I think?
Yep.
Two years.
We did that startup
segment as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's going well, isn't it?
Yeah, no, of course it is. Future CEO is doing very well. Well, it's good to have you here, Carl. Welcome.
Thank you.
Despite Carl's lack of flattering comments, I'm very happy to be back in studio. Andrew Taylor, also the co-founder of Legal Legends, and been involved with the show for the last couple of years, and glad to be distributing the knowledge.
Good. Let's jump into the conversation. We are talking trends. What to look out for in 2017? What's going to influence us in our various businesses or careers? You guys are the experts. That's why we brought you here. Tell us what we should be looking out for. We've got a couple of things that we also want to chat about and we'll ask you about. What are your thoughts on, and go, Andrew?
So one of the things I think that's most closely relevant to our industry, being the legal industry, is the, as I make a very nice sound,
while is that
I
pull the tummy?
I just had lunch. is the evolution of chatbots. So a lot of resources are dedicated to dealing with customers and to assisting customers in achieving their legal resolution, particularly in our business. And the evolution of artificial intelligence to enable chatbots, which basically is that little tab at the bottom of your screen which says, I see you're online, do you need help, how can I help you?
It feels personal, but it actually isn't.
That's exactly it. Mm. So the real magic is in creating that personalized experience and making someone feel like they've actually, that they are actually corresponding with an actual human being, otherwise known as the Turing test. So a very interesting evolution. So I know Carl's got some thoughts on the evolution of chatbots and its integration into Azure, the Microsoft platform, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think most startups, if I'm not mistaken, have free access to the Microsoft Azure platform if you go through one or two of the incubators in South Africa. We've just come back from The Hague where we had a team from Microsoft show us exactly how Azure works. And one of the platforms on there is the ability to create chatbots through natural language effectively and without having without needing the knowledge of being able to code. I think it's a great way for non-technical founders of startups to be able to use and create chatbots without having the coding knowledge which is normally necessary. So I think the barriers to entry of being able to use these chatbots are really, really lowering, and I'm really looking forward to the future of them.
So the only thing with this is that when something pops up, I know it's not human. So doesn't that really count? Isn't it counterproductive, counterintuitive? What I mean, is it? Does it not defeat the purpose of what we're trying to do, what we're trying to achieve?
Is the purpose not it being personalized? So you feel like, as a consumer or as the customer, that that person is really, that person, you know, inverted commas, is really speaking to you and only you? So that's a connection of real value and real interest in the consumer and the consumer behavior.
But if you see behind the curtain, if you pull back this curtain, isn't that a problem?
Hand up. I think what's quite nice with chatbots is there is often an out where, for example, if I can't answer a question, you do still have human live support that can interject in certain instances where the chatbot might not be able to answer something.
Okay.
A lot of the live chats on sites are still personal. For example, our site does still have the human touch to it, no chatbots as yet. But as I said, there is the ability where if it cannot answer anything, a human can come in and interject and answer the more complex questions, so retaining that personal touch at the end of the day.
Drew?
But I think at the end of the day, what you need to focus on is this is the logical end point of the evolution of customer assistance, because it's the point of comparison is really Mr. Sanjit in Hyderabad in India, which is not exactly a personalized experience if you're phoning into legal legends.
Good point.
Regardless of that, the end analysis needs to be, is your customer service being met, your customer service requirement being met? So if you need a refund off your flight tickets, it doesn't matter who helps you, whether it's a chatbot that achieves the solution or a human being. Does it really matter? You're not
sold.
There to make friends.
Sold.
That's a good question. It's very good. Let's us raise one. So we did mention in the introduction virtual reality experience, virtual reality retail experience. We could right now put a pair of goggles on and we're in the what's your favorite brand, Lumi?
Clothing brand.
Versace store, where we literally can pick items off hangers and they are here around us in studio.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's weird. It's also incredible. How do you guys feel about a retail experience that is virtual, that where you don't actually have to leave your house? Mm. It sounds great for men, I think.
Yeah, I think it's damn exciting. Particularly if it's got an integrated chatbot that tells you, hey, that doesn't quite match.
Yeah.
So what I really think is cool is part of that virtual reality experience is eventually being able to, like Warby Parker's introduced. So it takes a photo of your face, and then you get to actually try on the glasses that you want to put on.
And it
looks like it would in real life. Mm. And the same will eventually happen with clothes. So you can wear that Versace shirt or the Versace shirt, as they say in Benoni.
Sorry to all our Benoni listeners, Carl.
I think for fashion, especially, I think it's going to be a huge benefit. Up until this point in time, unfortunately, guys like Xander, etc., have solved the problem of clothes being slightly different fitting by just allowing for free returns. Yeah. But being able to see yourself in a mirror or see yourself with VR goggles, or I know there's a place in the US where there's actually a mirror within the department store where you can try on the clothes virtually,
I think
will solve a huge problem that especially clothing manufacturers and distribution outlets from an e-commerce aspect have struggled with for many, many years.
And another one that's really cool is, like, imagine being able to try on that like dashing extreme blonde hairstyle with the red streaks before you actually go to the hairdresser saying it's done. You can see how retarded you're going to look.
Well, I think half the fun is just doing it, right? But I think what we really are speaking about here is a service that is allowing us a certain level of convenience. But I guess my concern is a lack of personal interaction. And I hear what you say we just have to accept it. But do we really just have to accept it? Or is a differentiator in the future going to be personalized contact from a real human being? Well, we must look at it in a certain kind of context. Yeah?
So interestingly, The Economist actually cites the personal training profession as one of those professions least likely to experience disruption by technology, which I found fascinating because I mean, there's a range of personal training apps, but at the end of the day, people do still want that human interaction and that human touch as far as, although not too much touching when it comes to personal training.
Yeah, and you guys are legal, so you know.
But yeah, so I think you're 100% right. That's definitely going to be a differentiating factor. But I think that differentiating factor will only serve the sort of very top end of the market as it becomes more and more expensive to maintain that human interaction.
Mm.
conversely, how much cheaper it's going to become and how much lower the barriers of entry are going to become as far as having a mass-produced chatbot or a virtual reality assistant that comes in and helps everybody for no money.
You know what I like about it is that so many businesses try and differentiate on a customer service element. And I don't know who's – maybe it was who's our favorite? Clive Butko coming in and saying you never differentiate on price and you never differentiate on service. Those are two things that you it's just not where you're going to be competitive, people try to be.
I know with Zappos, if you read Delivering Happiness, Tony Hsieh was a founder of Zappos in the US, which I think is the biggest online distributor of shoes. And his whole book, his whole ethos is about incredible customer service. Mm. And it's really what he's been able to build the Zappos brand around. So, yes, I think traditionally, yeah, it's very hard to differentiate based on those aspects, but it is something that Tony Hsieh swears by. And I know a lot of guys have been trying to copycat that sort of idea from it. But once again, that would really entail, and it does entail, the personal touch. Someone who's willing to sit on the phone with you for an hour or so. And if I'm not mistaken, half of the time, some of the guys phone in to test the customer service at Zappos, for example, ordering pizzas and seeing if the guys on the other end will help them.
Or help them get a pizza instead of some shoes.
Well, if you want to join in on the conversation, you're listening to Future CEOs with our legal eagles, our legal legends right here in studio. Please use the Cliff Central WhatsApp number 079-748-2090. And we're talking about what to look out for when it comes to trends to grow and fast track your business in 2017. Continue, Andrew, continue.
So one of the other trends that I think I've seen a lot of more recently is the growth of the financially empowered millennials.
Yes.
And where their buying power is going to be vested is a really interesting study in the sort of evolution of what we value as a society.
That's so great.
And I think particularly the financially empowered millennials are focused on a far more social impact-driven economy, so more than just the profit-driven economy. Mm-hmm. So you see, and I'll mention them again, startups like Warby Parker and even Zappos that Carl mentioned earlier are introducing significant programs where not only are you purchasing a commodity or a good, but you're also benefiting somebody else. So Warby Parker's got the buy one, give one free glasses. So you buy a pair of prescription reading glasses and they help a person in a less privileged or developing economy to get a pair of.
And these young professionals are truly moving into the CEO positions quickly and easily,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. So driving more and more of the direction of the economy as their financial empowerment increases.
And it is being recognized by senior leaders. So you'll remember, Luby, we had a guest who was here in studio who was being supported very almost directly by Richard Branson. I'm going to hash the brand, if I try and say it properly, I think, but Vite, which is
London Vite,
yes, exactly.
Vite London, great.
The watch
You've got
brand.
A great memory, friend.
Oh yeah. but why is he doing so well? Because people are buying into this idea of social impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making those changes. Are the corporates ready for it? Are they moving in the right direction? I was in a very interesting conversation with Dion Chang this morning. Andrew, you know Dion. I think you may have had some kind of similar discussion there, where he's speaking about the millennials, but then even the generation after, and the way that they're going to be buying, consuming, running businesses. The world is changing, and these technological trends, these advances that we're talking about here, are the major drivers of it. A large majority of it. Let's go into one other one here, because I want us to stick with this idea of personalized contact. There's something called post-demographic consumerism, and it's about being anonymous but still receiving what you want. And in the article that I read about it, they speak about Spotify. Mm-hmm. So Spotify gives, and I'm going to read it, they think Spotify's Discovery Weekly, which sees over 40 million users receive a unique playlist every Monday. So it's a mass audience receiving the same, essentially what is the same thing, but they you can't measure it because everyone's anonymous almost on the Spotify platform. What do you think of this idea of post-demographic consumerism, where so much of what happens online, which is data-driven, Everyone's pointing at Libby.
Why is everyone pointing at me?
Libby, what do you think about post-demographic consumerism?
Ask the experts, damn it.
I think Gareth just made that up to try and stop us. So, Gareth, give us an example. Give us an example of post-demographic consumerism. So you mentioned Spotify. So as I understand the weekly playlist, Spotify sends you a uniquely customized, curated playlist based on your previous listening experiences and what you've enjoyed or haven't enjoyed.
Well, so let's go to the other end of the spectrum where we look at what is happening all over the world when we speak about data. Mm-hmm. And it's that we can almost carve out, and some people say niche, some people say niche. You carve out a niche audience from all over the world and you supply directly to them based on data, demographics that you're able to pull out and then are able to supply uniquely to them. Mm. Now, we're talking about the question that's been asked in this article is how do we go to scale then? If we only have a very small audience, how do we go to scale? And they're saying, look beyond the demographics. Mm. Mm. Can you do that? Can you do it in a legal sense?
So I think
your cows can.
Yeah, I think you have to in the legal sense because you've got a universally applicable system, or not universally, but jurisdictionally applicable. Mm. So for South Africa, for example, we have certain regulatory constraints within which we have to operate. Mm. So it's a lot easier to look past the demographic. But I think the converse of that is that it makes it a lot more difficult to actually appeal to an individual to buy one service over another. Mm. So, Gareth, you mentioned something quite interesting, and that's the evolution of big data. So I read somewhere the other day that the world produces 2.73 quintillion bytes of data.
Quintillion.
It's a lot. Yeah. So to give you some context, if you put every one of those pieces of data or every byte of data as a one rand coin, it would be sufficient to cover layer the earth five times over.
One rand coin.
Quintillion.
Quintillion bytes of data per day, incidentally.
Yer.
So it's an incredible amount of data. And I think that there's, particularly in the startup environment and the entrepreneurial ecosystem, there's a strong focus towards driving real user data and then metadata, which is data about data. But at the end of the day, a lot of what happens is you get stuck within this cesspool of data, which you're collating and collecting from all of your users, but there's no tangible way of actually extrapolating the information that you need and actually using it to better reach your audience in a lot of instances. Mm. So you're finding as much as data can be empowering, it can also be incredibly confusing because there's just so much of this data flowing at you all the time. Mm. And you need to be very adept at using that data to be able to better reach your audience.
Mm. So let's then turn this over to you guys. So first, when we introduced you on Future CEOs, you guys were representing a brand called LexNove. Now, LexNove is still around, but it's phasing out, as I understand. Mm-hmm. And you today were introduced as Legal Legends, co-founders of Legal Legends. You've got two brands. Both brands are legal service entities. What's going on here? Why is one phasing out? Why is one not? This really goes to the heart of the data thing, surely.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, LexNove is where we started out. It was effectively a e-lance for legal services. You go onto the site, you post the description of your legal matter, and on the back end, over a period of 48 hours, our attorneys would be able to submit proposals to take on your legal matter. What we realized over time, and I think through applications and startups such as Uber, etc., there's been this growing need for instant gratifications. Customers don't want to sit through a 48-hour period to wait for proposals to come in. Attorneys likewise don't want to have to submit proposals that might never convert. So we thought, well, why don't we take the 40 or 50 most common services we offer, put them onto an e-commerce platform where the price is listed up front and guys can go onto the site, can go through the different services that we offer and purchase them instantly. If they can't find what they want, then we reserve the LexNove type bidding process for the more complex matters. So that was the evolution from LexNove to Legal Legends. The name change was purely because Legal Legends is just more memorable, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah. Mm.
Right.
So our tagline's kind of legendary legal services for entrepreneurs. So again, we've focused specifically on that entrepreneurial sector of the market because we believe that it's a fundamentally underserved portion of the market, and providing high-quality legal services at a price point that entrepreneurs and small to medium enterprises can actually afford. So we've pioneered the use of installment payments with legal services, which has seen phenomenal traction purely because it provides people who were faced with a decision of either spending 15, 20, 30,000 rand on a legal document all at once, otherwise the same lawyer that helped them was going to be pursuing them for late collections, to a situation where now we're making it a lot more convenient and turning it into, as has been our fundamental ethos from the beginning, a far more value-based and service-oriented profession, which is what it should be.
So, but why did you guys change? How did that happen? Because what are we talking about? We're talking about a data-driven decision.
Yeah.
We're talking
about...
So
I think
what was that first point of data that you said, wow, this is actually this is not working the way we thought it was, let's evolve.
Correct. So I think just to preface the discussion, it's important to know that you need to be agile and you need to be responsive to what your users tell you, and the only way that you can do that is if you actually listen to them. So what we did is we compiled a bunch of random customer samples where we phoned guys and said, listen, how was your experience, what did you feel? Then we phoned attorneys on the other side, what was your experience, how did you guys feel? And then we discussed it between the two of us and decided, hang on a second, there's a massive point of friction that we need to resolve or solve for.
It's just to climb in there, it's so important for entrepreneurs to use their customers as a base to find out the progress of their own companies. You know what I mean? I think the times of, well, not the times, I think Clive Butker would kill me, where people are actually doing crowdfunding more than venture capitalism as a source of maintaining and obtaining new business developments. Yeah, you know,
sure,
so your customers are actually
validates the
correct, yeah, correct. Yes, Andrew.
Absolutely.
No,
I think also jumping back to the data-driven side of our pivot, we noticed through Google Analytics that a lot of guys were coming to the site and bouncing before they posted a description of their legal needs. And what we realized also over time, that bounce rate through asking the clients, through gathering data, was because they still weren't sure what they would be charged at the end of the day. Was it going to be 3 grand? Was it going to be 15 grand? Was it going to be 30 grand? At least by providing the cost up front, we realized that a lot more guys, through the data we collected, were more likely to convert. In addition to that, the data also collected from the most common legal services that were asked for over and over and over again, which obviously educated the decision to list those particular services, and then the preference of how we list them on the site and how to bundle them together with different startup packages on the Legal Legends site. So it really was a natural pivot, a natural evolution that was always going to happen, whether it be under the Lexno brand or the Legal Legends brand.
I like the fact that there was a collection point of data being online, but then you guys also went offline, went to your clients and consumers, because they're definitely different points there, and gathered a lot of data. I do want us to move on, though. Did you have
quick point, and it relates to your earlier point around having that personal touch to things. So if you get into an Uber car, it doesn't matter if it's Jim or it's Joe that drives you from A to B. Your end goal is to get from A to B.
That's a good point. Thank you.
But legal services in particular are a high touch, high trust environment, because people come to you with their problems and they need them to be solved. So legal services require that high touch, high trust environment, particularly for the more nuanced things, which is something, another point of data that we realized and forced us to pivot
being
towards.
What nuance?
So basically, if I've got an attempted murder charge against me, I want somebody who I know is going to have my back. I don't want a chatbot or IBM's pioneered Watson, who's an AI bot that's gone to law school and learnt a bunch of precedents. People need that high-touch environment where they feel that their personal liberty or their personal possessions are at risk. So I think that's something that ought to be borne in mind as far as, you know, the remainder of the trends that we've discussed is concerned.
Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Is there a trend that you want to highlight specifically, Libby? I've got one.
Go for it.
Okay. Let's quickly talk about this thing that is happening it seems to be happening in a lot of first world markets where the house is being taken over by Google is doing it. I think Amazon is doing it. It's these incredible systems that are able to control our houses. I'm not 100% sure if I like this idea of no control. But what does that do? And this is the key question. What does it do for you as a startup, for you as a business? Maybe you can work from home. Just any thoughts about this idea that at home we can do almost anything now?
Well, I think Amazon's really pioneering it through. They started out with Echo, which had the software program called Alexa on it, which is essentially a virtual assistant through which you can do a whole bunch of different things through the system via voice. Now, from a startup's point of view, what's quite nice, and I think this is very, very interesting, is that they've opened it to the general public, much like Apple's opened up its app store to third-party developers. So third-party developers are now developing what are known as skills, which are essentially apps for Amazon Alexa, which allows you to manipulate and use the Alexa artificial intelligence software for whatever needs that you need from it. So that's how it's currently being pioneered, and I think it was a very big or dominant part of the Consumer Electronics Summit this year, were all these different appliances, etc., for the house using this Alexa system, like an intelligent fridge from LG and whatnot. Mm.
So I think the evolution of the Internet of Things is a huge trend to watch out for. Or not to watch out for, but to be aware of.
I'd say to watch out for. We've all seen Terminator. I'm just saying.
We have all seen Terminator.
Are you scared, babe?
Who was it that has now developed the some seriously powerful AI computers that were speaking to each other and deciphering code, and now they speak to each other and no one knows what they're speaking to each other about? So there can be a loss of control. They speak in a different language.
Yeah,
they
Skynet is real, Gary. Yeah,
Skynet is real. Anyway, sorry, we're interrupting
you.
So the Internet of Things is saying that I think is definitely a trend to watch out for, and the efficiencies that can bring to your business are potentially huge, particularly in the services industry. So imagine a plumber who can automatically notify you of the fact that your geyser is leaking because his app has notified him that Gareth's house's geyser is overflowed.
There's a pressure issue or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So those kinds of things have a huge impact on industries like insurance, like repairs and warranties and all of those types of claims, and the amount of money that we're paying in insurance is going to dramatically increase or decrease with the advent of things like automated cars, where we don't even need to own cars anymore. Because you can just hail it from a ride sharing app, which has just incredible implications for the efficiencies that we're able to bring to our society. So very exciting stuff, in my opinion.
It is exciting. Carl, do you have a final word?
Yeah, I like the self-balancing bike that Honda just created.
It is very cool. And
it's just got autonomous fat tires.
And in the video, it looks around a corner,
And you can summon it as well, much like a self-driving car. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
And there are these incredible things going on. Libby, a final word from you before we have to wrap it up?
I'm completely blown over by the trends that we can apply to our businesses in 2017. And we have to use it as an advantage, as a secret weapon to our businesses, so we can win those customers and those sales and just grow our businesses.
Well, on that note, after the break, we are going to be talking about not being distracted by these things.
Because the flip side.
Yes, exactly. The flip side of all of these trends, of the technological advances that are coming our way. And so we will see you.
What an introduction. Thank you, legal legends. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. Yeah. Good luck to all of you guys out there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll see you after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.